Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You know what that means. It's time for Here Now with Rachel C. I'm your host, Rachel C. You know what this week means. This is another mini micro session this week. Joining me in the studio will be Meg Farrell, Cranston Dean, and Adam Maloof. Right now, we're going to kick things off a little something from our friends, the Pie Power Trio. This is The Walk. That was a walk from Pie Power Trio. You'll see it Here Now with Rachel C., the show that celebrates live performance, culture, and activism in the arts. On that note, I want to tell you about things to go out and see and do, because I want you to go out and see, do and see the things. It's a live performance culture show. Besides what we're doing tonight, the micro sessions, which we're going to get into, I want to remind you about a few other things happening in town. We talked about this a lot last week, but I'll tell you one more time. Black Emoji is at Pianos tonight, 10 p.m. That's tonight, the 24th. On Saturday, what else is happening? Oh, wait, something that is happening this Sunday I want to tell you about. Sorry about that, guys. This Sunday, the 27th, Furlough Fury, a fundraiser show at Acme Hall will be taking place. Acme Hall Studios, 435 9th Street, Brooklyn, at 5 p.m. This is a family-friendly event. Lots of music, some activities as well. This is raising funds for soup kitchens, food pantries that have been set up for furloughed federal workers. Suggested donation is $20 per family, so donate accordingly. But that's happening once again at Acme Hall Studios, 435 9th Street in Brooklyn, 5 p.m. It's billed as a family friendly event, so bring everybody. There's something for everyone to do and ways for everybody of all ages to contribute. Former guest Lizzie and the Makers will be at Arlene's Grocery Wednesday the 30th at 8 p.m. 95 Stanton Street. One more thing I'll tell you about before we get into the big thing we're talking about tonight. Excuse me. A rare appearance of the New York Fowl is said to be happening Saturday, February 2nd at Hank's Saloon, the new location, the resuscitated, the resurrected Hank's Saloon, 345 Adams Street. Go check them out and go check out the new space. Let's see what we all think about that. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Listen to us here at home or on the go with via the apps. They sound really great. There's one for Android. There's one for iPhone. And if you want to learn more about us, I suggest signing up for the newsletter, radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. I got a whole lot of copy in that like little segment there. I'm going to pat myself on the back for that one. Okay, I'm in the room with a whole lot of talent tonight. We're going to go around the room. So Micro Sessions is billed as speed dating for music lovers, and it's kind of cool. I've been to it. I recommend it. It's kind of a fun and different thing to do. It's happening in different cities. It happens in Brooklyn, actually at a music studio, which is very appropriate. But you basically go into different rooms in the different studios in the recording studio. And for 15 minutes at a time, you see different musical acts. And then at the very end, you go see the one you like the best, the one you choose to see again. And so you kind of get four shows in about an hour. There are three acts that are billed this month, and everyone is here tonight. So we're gonna start off talking with Adam Aloof and Michael Birdie. You guys are here tonight. Thanks for joining us. You guys are here with Adam. You're a percussionist by training, and Michael's playing with you. You've got some. You're playing on unique instruments, though. You want to tell us a little bit about what you're playing on?
This instrument that I'm playing on is the handpan, and the other word that I like to call this instrument is the pantone. They call it pantone because it's half the steel pan from Trinidad and half an Indian instrument called guttum. So steel pan plus the guttum equals pantone. And it's a beautiful instrument. This is Michael Birdie. Mm-hmm. He's going to be playing the oud. It's a Lebanese instrument, a traditional ancient string instrument. It's and like the guitar of the Middle East.
The pantom is a relatively new instrument. One might call it a hybrid of two instruments. It's been around only within like the last 20 years. Is this something? Yeah. So I don't want to ask if it's traditionally played with the oud because it's something new, but.
It's not traditionally
played with anything, but is this something, I know this is an instrument that you're, I mean, it, how many people are playing the pantom right now? Is this something that, it's a relatively new thing, is this something that's, you're not the only person playing it, is
no,
it?
But I'm
is this
not.
Sort of
there,
a rare thing
there are many
to
players.
See, or like by going to see you play, is this, are we really getting a treat seeing something unique?
I think there are many players in New York City. There's maybe like five of us that are really playing in the city here. And beyond that, internationally, it's really growing. This summer, I got a chance to see that. I went to Austria and I played, and I got to meet people from 32 different countries that play these instruments. Builders, makers, players. Mm-hmm. And both the making of the instrument is an art and playing the instrument is a different kind of art.
Very cool looking. I've had the pleasure of watching some video of you playing this. I'm looking forward to hearing you play it in a few minutes. And Michael, how did you come to play the oud, but also how did this kind of come together with Adam, like playing these instruments together?
I was playing guitar for many years, and because of my Syrian background, a good friend of mine who played oud suggested that I pick up the oud. And yeah, as I've started learning oud, it was in a similar crowd that Adam was in at the time, in the Middle Eastern music, and I believe we met at a show, and we just clicked. You know, we were both composing sort of this new Middle Eastern background, but contemporary music, and he started playing with my band, and I started playing with his band, and we've been collaborating ever since.
Sounds like taking old instruments and composing new music, and in the case with the pantom, at least taking old instruments and making a new instrument, and then making new music with
it. New music, and in this case, we're kind of connecting to our background, our culture, we both have Lebanese heritage, so that's really kind of a lot of the musical connection is happening there, and that's the reason why we connect to this music.
It's a beautiful thing. How did you fall in with the Micro Sessions project? How did that all come together?
Me by way of Adam Malou.
Last year I played Paul reached out to me, and I was really happy to get the opportunity and happy to come back this year and get to try some new stuff for you guys.
Micro Sessions is definitely getting some flavor this summer. So do you guys want to play a little something for us here? Pull this down here.
This is a new one. Can we pull the mic just a little right here? Perfect. That's good. This is a new one we're working on called Oasis.
Wow. Yeah, Yes, I'm definitely in the Oasis, in an Oasis somewhere. I'm in a musical Oasis right now. Thank you, guys. That was a beautiful, beautiful experience. Where else besides the micro sessions event this weekend can we hear this music? Where else do you guys perform? Where else do you do what you guys do?
Well, I'm playing Friday night at Liquid Verse at National Sawdust, and this is a multimedia kind of visual experience event with about 12 different other musicians, and I'll be playing these instruments as well as some other percussion instruments. It's a lot of drone and ambience and interesting combination.
I've been noticing more music events actually being more of the multimedia experiences more and more lately, which I'm really appreciating. We're getting the visuals with the ambient music. It's very cool, and you know, kind of blending the venue into the sound. It's very, very thing.
We've played a good bit up at the Chapel of Sacred Mirrors, the Cosm.
Okay.
Alex Graves, the artist.
Right, right. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you guys so much for being here. So we're good. We have, before we get any further into the hour, we're going to move things along. I think we're going to bring Paul Schomer, who started the project, into the room because we actually have to shift things around in the room. It's a small studio tonight, but don't worry, everyone. Because Adam and Michael aren't going anywhere. We're just shifting things around. We're playing a little musical chairs tonight. At this point, I do want to remind everyone we are a 501c3. So if you like what you're hearing, please feel free to donate with our flirt with the donate button. Get your write-offs on. If you guys want to come on in and tune up, you can do that. That's cool because we've got the other mics down. Hi, Paul. Welcome back.
Hello, Rachel.
All right. So the micro sessions is just like it's all over the place now.
It is. It is. We're expanding. You know, we've changed it a little bit. We're now 3x instead of 4. But
right.
But the general idea is the same, that people come and the audience members listen to 15-minute sets by 3 acts in a row. And then they sort of get to create their own encore as all the acts continue to play simultaneously. A 30 to 40-minute set. And folks can sort of choose and pick which room they want to go in.
So they're not 15-minute sets anymore, really.
They are still the first three sets are 15.
But your final set.
But the final set is 30 to 40. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a change. And I guess that's kind of practical since you've got like 3 acts now instead of 4. Was that did that just kind of happen naturally, or was it just more practical to book fewer, or were people saying, "Hey, I want a longer encore"? Was it just like easier to book 3 acts rather than 4? Was it like, how did that happen, or did it just sort of like
all of that.
Okay.
And it's, you know, and it was a little financially driven as well, because you know, we have to rent an extra room and have an extra act, and but the 3 acts seems to work really well, and it gives people the audience members really react well to it, because they don't have to choose between 4 acts now, just 3. And also, instead of 20 to 30 minutes, it's a 30 to 40 minute set. So if they wanted to, they could really hear more from all 3 acts, before the end of the night. And we're done in just about 2 hours. So it's kind of a nice window of time where they can go in.
And the other thing is, this was something that started over out in Austin, and you brought it to, and it happened in New York.
Yes.
And you brought it to New York City and then to Brooklyn. But this is happening in other cities now, too.
We're going to start up. Actually, there's a lot of activity happening on that front right now. We are hopefully going to expand to Boston and D.C. this year. In D.C., we're hoping to do a world music version of it, whereby, you know, each room represents the music of a different country, which will be kind of fun. Boston, we want to get to because of our sponsors, supporters, Bose Professional, are located up there. And we've got interest in Westchester County at Mercy College in Dobbs Ferry, and also San Antonio, Texas, because we're down that way. And we're hoping to host in San Antonio in April. A lot of different things expanding that way. And we're also going to, we're in the early stages of producing a podcast, a micro sessions podcast.
Right. What would that look like? Sort of just like this, or I mean, kind of what would that podcast look like?
The episodes are going to be a little bit different than your sort of standard podcast. They are going to be 7 to 10 minutes long. They're very short.
Okay.
And they're going to be anchored by a single song performed by an artist at a Micro Session showcase. So a live song that's sort of exclusive to Micro Sessions. But then on either side of that song, just sort of a little information, voiced intro about the act and the artist, and some possibly, you know, 30 or 40 seconds of an earlier cut, and then just some freestanding quotes from the
Synergy to reinforce what you're doing with the live show. It sounds like it's really all about the kind of the whole live experiencing. Yep. Mm-hmm. So again, to reiterate, the Micro Sessions in Brooklyn that's happening now, that's happening this Saturday.
Saturday night.
26th. Yes. And the address is, that's over in Prospect Heights.
Prospect Heights, right off Vanderbilt Avenue. It's 227 St. Mark's, about 100 steps off, right near Ample Hill Creamery, the lovely ice cream store.
There's ice cream nearby.
There's ice cream. And the doors open at 8, and we start the music at 8:30. And we wrap up by around 10:15. We're done pretty quickly.
And it's a lot of fun. And if you're like me and you've never actually done speed dating, now you kind of got a sense of what speed dating must be like, too.
Sort of. I mean, it's a nice experience. People, we've done this for 3 years in Austin, about a year and a half in New York. And the one thing consistently I found is that the audiences like to move. They like to get into that group. And they like to move from room to room. And at the end, it's sort of that decision period where they're going to go. And now it's, I think, a little better that we're offering them the possibility to go back to each room if they want to hear it. And but the audiences really get into it. Inevitably, I have someone at every showcase who comes up to me and grabs me by the arm and says, "Did you do this? This is really amazing." And yeah. So it's nice to get that validation. But and I think the musicians get a lot out of it, too, because of that focused attention.
I felt the show that I went to, and of course we hosted everybody here last year, mm-hmm. In Brooklyn, was a pretty diverse group. But this time around seems especially diverse. We're all going to hear that. Was that also intentional? Were you really making a point? Like, this is going to be real. We're going to, like, the genres are really going to.
Yeah, not too far afield, but, just reasonably different so that each room has a different experience. Okay. Yeah.
There was one more question I was going to ask with all of this. Was there anything else that you wanted to add about what was happening here? Oh, that's right. We had tickets to give away.
We have a pair of tickets.
If you don't win these tickets, how much are tickets to go?
Tickets
see?
Are $15.
Okay, $15 to see three bands. Ends.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And see three one ends. Of them more than once. Exactly. Which is, this is like a steal, guys. Okay, so to win the tickets, here's what you have to do. And we're going to open the contest now, and we're going to close it 5 p.m. on Saturday. Right. 5 p.m. on Saturday, because the show, the doors open at 8. One of the people on the show tonight and in the show on Saturday, Meg Farrell. Hey, Meg. Was on Here and Now previously. So what you're going to do is this. You're going to answer the following question. I need a month and a year. All you need, a month and a year. When was Meg Farrell last on Here and Now with Rachel C? DM the answer to the Here and Now Instagram at HEARANDSHOW at Here and Now Show. And it's just all I need is a month and a year. When was Meg Farrell last on Here and Now with Rachel C? The first person who answers correctly, you take your names, and God will pass it along to Paul. You'll be on the list. You and a friend, you and your date can go in and speed date to live music. And that's all we need. And it's real simple, you guys, because just scroll through all the Instagrams. Actually, I'll make it even a little bit easier for you, because I do a lot of promotion for the show through my personal Instagram, at Rachel C. NYC. You can also DM there, because a lot of that's archived there. This isn't tough. Just, all the shows are archived on podomatic.com, or you can go to Here and Now with Rachel C. on Facebook, and you can just kind of scroll through, and maybe you should listen to that episode and listen to all these old things. And you will find out when Meg Farrell was last on Here Now with Rachel C. And just give me a month and a year, and you win your free tickets to the awesome show this Saturday night. Okay, we're going to move things along this way. Cranston Dean, you're up. We're doing the round robin in the room tonight.
Goodness, how do I follow that, man? And when I was proposed the speed dating aspect of this, I'm like, ah.
Was that, did you hear, were you like pitched micro sessions and went like speed dating?
I was pitched it in person, and the person that who had hooked me and Paul up and got me on this, she works for Sofar Sounds as well. Okay. So she had been the person in charge the two times I played Sofar, and she was just like, I think you'd like this micro sessions thing. And then Paul sent me an email, and I was so terribly nervous. I was like, well, what if nobody comes back for me? What if I'm just there for 45 minutes playing alone and everyone goes to see Adam and Meg? But I got a rally crew.
There you go. Well, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. If you want, I know you are, from what I've read, you have been described a New Jersey-based artist who feels his soul is actually in New England. Kind of raised a few views. Tell us, how did that description come up? Tell us a little bit about your music.
My father's family's from New England, uh-huh. And when I first started traveling, I was like, I want to go to New England. Like, that's one of the cool little things about music is that you can kind of, even if you're going on a vacation, you can go find a gig somewhere, you know, why not just go find the gig? And so we started playing this little town in Maine. Uh-huh. Now we go up there 4 or 5 times a year. So I don't know. I think I wrote that years and years ago when I was dreaming of Maine or something.
You could pretty much played pretty much everywhere. You a lot of notable places in New Jersey and along the Eastern Seaboard. What sort of, other than micro sessions, what sort of things are you doing now musically? What sort of projects are you involved with?
Just, I mean, my project wise, or like, what am I playing? Because it's mostly just either playing solo stuff or I have a band around it. Mm-hmm. And the band and I are going down to Nashville again in March. I'm sorry, April. Going back to New England in March. And playing, writing, booking, and hopefully recording a new EP within the next year, you know?
Great. That's very exciting. And so you were kind of pitched the micro sessions, and that's how you kind of came into it?
Yeah. I was pitched the micro sessions through a friend that I had made through Sofar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, welcome to the adventure. You want to play us a little something?
Sure. Right. Sure. I was going to go with something happy, but I'm kind of feeling sad today.
I'm sorry.
But I'm much happier now to be with you.
What is this called?
Called semi-automatic. Right. When I wake up in the afternoon, I see the cycle on the daily news. It never seems to shock me anymore. It's running repeats, that's all we do. And when they wake up in the morning, they hop a bus and they go to school. Walkouts, lockdowns, check your lockers. And here's the box to hold your bones for you. Keep the flag at half mast, leave it there till half past. New moon. Keep the rifles coming. Leave the Bible thumping if it's too soon. Forgive us, Father, for we know not what we do. When I think of those I love the most, then the founding fathers and the Holy Ghost. They all made it through their childhood years. They never dwelt among our nation's tears.
So when I wake up in the afternoon, I see the cycle on the daily news. It never seems to shock me anymore. Running repeats, that's all we do. So keep the flag at half mast, leave it there till half past the new moon. Leave the rifles coming, keep the Bible thumping if it's too soon. Give us, Father, for we know not what we do. Forgive us, Father, for we know not what we do. It's semi-automatic, patriotic fabric. Drape it on my coffin, and I'll let you know when we get there. To the mountains, I've seen both our oceans. I've been through this country, and I moved to the city screaming. Keep the flag at half mast, leave it there till half past the new moon. Keep the rifles coming, keep the Bible thumping if it's too soon. Forgive us, Father, for we know not what we do. Forgive us, Father, for we know not what we do. Forgive us, Father, for we know not what we do.
Thank you. Thanks, friend. Cheers. Thanks.
That was a beautiful, beautiful thing. So we kind of went from the music, this kind of innovative collaboration, with Syrian roots to this almost like a little bit of Americana influenced sound. We're definitely seeing like the diversity in this round of micro sessions. It's really impressive. I want to take a moment just to remind everybody, all you listeners out there, that if you miss any of tonight's broadcast, to catch a rebroadcast Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern. Again, you can win tickets to Saturday night's micro sessions, not just right now. The contest is open starting like now until Saturday at 5. When did Meg Farrell last appear on Here Now with Rachel C? Just give me a month and a year. And we'll be posting this on the social media channels. We'll be repeating this in case you didn't hear this now. Also, I want to remind you that Radio Free Brooklyn is very proud to announce that we have launched an after-school program for local teenagers to learn media literacy through media making using a hands-on approach guided by local professionals. If you're interested in participating in this program or donating to the program, please go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/afterschool. And remember, all donations are tax deductible. That's our Teen Squad program. Please check that out and learn more about it. It's a really cool thing. Okay, look, Meg's back. Hi, Meg. Let's move our mics over this way. Welcome back, Meg. Speaking of
the sound goat.
That one's good. How have you been?
I'm good. Oh, I would do, and also just to help, if there people are looking for it, it's Meg Farrell.
Meg Farrell, sorry.
No, it's cool because it's not with an E, it's with an A, like Colin, I would say. Now, if people look for FE, it might be hard.
Yeah.
Two G's, right. Also. That's the weird part.
It's, yes, no, two G's. It's like how.
Brilliant part. That is the brilliant part. Once you type in MEGG, it goes right to
there.
You.
I mainly did it because it centers the F more, but then that actually is why I don't know, I have a weird visual.
I took my stage name because of a typography decision.
It literally was that.
That's different. I know a lot of people have chosen band names over available URLs or just like what do you Google and what comes up. You want to be careful, but typography, that's different. That's a first. Okay, Meg has been on the show before. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to see you've linked in with Micro Sessions. How did you come to be involved with Micro Sessions?
How did I find you?
The same way. I think the same person.
Yes.
Really? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Sam, this person is Sam Sumter. Sam was actually on the show with us last time with Rob. And she came and spoke a little bit about So Far Sounds, which Meg, you've played, I guess.
Yeah, right? I've done numerous one of those with So Far. Yeah, I was supposed to play with them this week, actually, and I messed up. I love them, though. They're really great.
If they're understanding. But Sam, who helps me out with Micro Sessions each time we do it here in New York, has worked for like a couple of years now with So Far Sounds as one of their sort of top volunteers. And so I've lived in New York a couple of times, Rachel, okay. But the last time was about 10 years ago. So okay. I'm not as connected to the scene these days.
Right.
I do have some connections up here and count on them to refer me musicians, but Sam has been terrific. She just came up to me at one of the showcases and said she wanted to work for me. So I said, okay, you can do it. And since then, she's been extremely helpful and has recommended a lot. And what I do, and I always say this in Cranston, you're already on this train, but Meg too, the best acts I think I get for Micro Sessions come from recommendations from the other musicians. And this happens in Austin all the time where people will come to me and say, oh, you got to hear about this guy or you got to try this girl. And so Meg, keep that in mind. Cranston, you've already had a couple people coming my way, which is great. But yeah.
Yeah, the sense of community amongst artists and musicians, I'm sure you see this in Austin, but it's everywhere. But you see it a lot in New York, and it seems to be so crucial in New York because of just the way I get this talking to musicians all the time, just the way a musician has to go about getting on stage and being heard. It's a little different here compared to the way it is in some other cities, the way kind of things work here now, the way compared to other big music towns. You sometimes have to put your own bill together. You kind of have to, you kind of really need to be there for each other in ways and function for as a community and as a unit, if you will, that isn't, I don't want to say isn't necessary in other towns, but like, you know, but yeah, kind of. That's the kind of what I've been hearing a lot more of. I've heard over the years, and I hear more and more every time I talk with artists. And so that sense of community is like, it's so necessary here, and it's a beautiful thing. But yeah, musicians are going to be the best referral in New York for another musicians because, you know, it's from what I understand, you know, there are still places, like if I want to find out, like, okay, I want to hear some new music. Who's the new artist? You know, I can't just go to a spot and assume I'm going to hear the new artist. I have to search out the new music and then find out where they're playing and then go see them. Whereas like in a place like Nashville, there'll be a location where someone wanting to go hear new music will go and it is there for you.
Yes,
that doesn't. So, you know, that's kind of a difference here. So that the new art, they all kind of know each other. So what's cool about Micro Sessions is it's kind of a show that will present you on a bill, all different sort of stuff.
I mean,
as an audience member, that's, I think, a very cool aspect of Micro Sessions.
Yeah, it's nice that, I mean, I'm guilty of this too in Austin, which I call the dead cat swing town. I mean, on any night of the week, literally, you can swing it and hit, you know, five or six great shows for $6 or $5 each or something like that. And I will hop around and because I'm looking for acts and everything. And I'll say to Meg, hey, Meg, what time are you going on at the Mohawk? Oh, I'm going to be on at 10. So I'll get there at 5 minutes to 10. I'll get my drink. I'll watch your set. And then, bam, I'm gone. Now, what about the people who are opening up for you or the person that follows you? I don't hear that. And that's the kind of thing I tried to address when I put this together, which was you guys get to swap fans. I mean, people, fans of Meg who may never have the opportunity to get down to the Jersey Shore to see you or would never go to, let's say, at Lincoln Center to see Adam because he's played Lincoln Center and Carnegie Hall. Mm-hmm. You know, those worlds just may never collide except here. And because I make these goofy rules, you know, that, okay, you've got to stay in this group and you've got to move to this room. And people just get exposed to stuff they just may not normally get to listen to.
Right. Meg, you, when you were last year, you were hooked in with the whole Unit J scene and you were here talking about the Northside Festival. Are you still participating with the Westside? Are you still playing with that?
Yeah, yeah, I'm still working with Unit J.
And you're still, you're working on something now too that I think, because I've been researching, read up on everybody, you're actually sort of crowdfunding a project now. You're a tour. I think you're looking to do a tour.
We actually did that. It's still out in the open. We recorded an album about a year ago at this point. Then we were raising money to finish the album and get on tour. I'd started a new band that was more in the classic country vein. It's doing original music. And we got the tour out. The tour happened in July, which is really great. It was our first tour out. And now I'm just getting the album out. That's why we still have it up, you know, in case someone last minute wants to throw in some more funds. I'm not going to take the GoFundMe down until I release the album.
So I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. There is a GoFundMe. It's still open.
Yeah, it is still open for
still
sure.
Raising the funds. But I loved your video pitch where it was like, you know, if you give us this amount of money, you get this thing. It wasn't like you get the band. You're like, oh, I'll buy you a shirt or something.
Yeah.
I'm just like, everyone go to MegFerrell.com. Because you just watch the video because it's very sincere and it's a little different. It's not just yeah. like you'll get this specifically. It's like, yeah, you can request a song. We'll do it. It was a little more cash.
Yeah.
Like,
it took so many takes to get me to not giggle.
Now, is the album and the tour was with Meg Farrell and Friends,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then you've got, what's the other group?
Sweet Meg.
Yeah,
that's my jazz project.
Jazz, okay.
Yeah, right. I remember the jazz project versus the bluegrass country stuff.
Yeah.
And it's Farrell. I'll stop saying Farrell. I had a friend growing up with the same last name as you, and they were the Farrell, so I'm still a little stuck.
It's like, oh, no, it's like Barrel, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Farrell, Barrel. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
On that note, so you're part of Micro Sessions. Looking forward to all that. Do you want to play us a little something? Are you playing Micro Sessions more of your country stuff or more of the
yeah.
jazz stuff?
I'm doing my original stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Let's bring this down a little bit here.
I just have a quick question for Meg. Can you please talk a little bit about your guitar?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, because it's true that I just came off another tour with my jazz band, and I was joking because literally every single gig, someone came up to me and was like, what are you playing? Is it an oversized ukulele? What is that? It's a tenor guitar. It's a four-string guitar. I've got a tuning what's called Chicago tuning, but it's just DGBE, so it's just like basically a six-string without the low EA. I used to play ukulele, then I moved to tenor banjo, and then with my jazz band, I do old-time jazz, so banjo is great, but I don't only do 20s, and so banjo was kind of holding me back. So I was like, I need to play guitar, and someone told me tenor guitars existed, and I was like, sweet, I don't have to learn two extra strings and I can still play guitar. I kind of got into it from there, and then when I started in the country thing, it worked out well because I have a lead guitarist in my band and he's playing the six string upright. I kind of rest right in the middle with my little tenor.
So I'm looking at it now and it looks like Beautiful. It's a nice segue from those instruments you just described.
Right? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Looking at the width of the neck and everything.
Yeah. And this is a Gibson. I think it's from the 50s or 60s. I don't have a year on this one. I just got it online. But yeah, I've got two Gibsons and I love them both. They're really fun. Perfect. I am learning six string. I eventually am working on it now. We'll get those two.
You're building up.
If you get those four down, you're fine.
Hey, Keith Richards had five. So yeah. That's your next step.
Cool. Well, I will play something now. I'm going to play something off my, I'm making a new album, actually moving down to Nashville. I'm going to split my time between Nashville and New York, and I'm working on a new album, even though I haven't put out my last album yet. I'll get it all done. But this is called Midnight Train. Wait, I can't hear myself. There we go. I'm alone now, no more than I ever was before. You're lying close now, and I'm lying here naked on the floor. No one calling me upstairs, no one tries, no one dares. There's no one here tonight. I'm all alone, so whisper close my door, say goodbye and say goodnight, 'cause I'm leaving town tomorrow. Nobody here, nobody left to fight. My jacket's on and my boots are packed. I'm not trying to leave town, trying to find my way back. Oh, I'm lying home. Mattress we bought way back, where you'd put on that good old Nielsen track. No one waiting here at home, no one sees, no one knows that I'm where I wanna be. Lying here, making plans with you and me. So whisper close, my darling, say goodbye and say goodnight, 'cause I'm leaving town tomorrow. Don't you dare put a fight. And I don't know why I'm not crying. My heart is filled and I ain't dying. Life ain't eating you.
Beautiful. So you've got the two projects. Are you sort of focusing more? I know you have, like, obviously you just mentioned that you're finishing up the one album, starting on the other one. You've got the country projects, the album projects that you're working on. But are you focusing more on one genre right now than the other? Are you focusing more on the country right now overall than the jazz, or is it just kind of just
Or is it just kind of
where the creative, like, journey kind of led you right now, or is it a?
I'm kind of what I'm working on in general right now. I've decided I just hit 30 this year, and I kind of decided new direction in general in both my projects. Okay. Where I work full time in music, and that I gig full time. So yeah. I'm playing every night of the week. I'm playing 3 gigs on Saturday, and so it's like that kind of stuff. And I'm kind of sick of playing that much. And I'm trying, so my new direction, I'm trying to play less and focus more on recording, writing, and creating in both bands. So I'm right now, because I have to put this album out, it's done, and I'm moving down to Nashville in March, so I'm putting together a new country band and working on the second album. That's what I'm working on now. But as soon as I get the second country record recorded, I'm hoping to record it March and April. I'm actually going back into the studio with a jazz band, and we're doing the second Sweet Meg record. And it's going to be, I know we've got a kind of a weird, fun project going on with the Sweet Meg thing, and that's taking a new sound. It's getting a little bit spacier and weirder. And the country thing is, I'm trying to do a full original album. The last one we did had a couple covers on it. Uh-huh. And so I'm trying to just in general make more original music and do a little bit less of the, like, working music part and more of the creating music part.
Or
the
covering the old tunes.
Yeah.
You're playing, especially like the jazz stuff, the old stuff. I mean, I think it sort of naturally you'd be covering some traditional music.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we do a lot of standards for sure.
Like doing a lot of standards, but like, you know, making the originals, I bet, is part of, I guess, a challenge if you want to stay within the genre.
Yeah. With that band, we're trying to, I've got a couple original jazz heads that I've written. They're harder to write than the folk ones, is because they have to be more specific in a style, like,
very
to fit in,
structured a certain way.
Yeah, and it's like it's funny. It's simpler in one way, but that makes it harder to write. But I'm trying to write more original stuff. But one of the things we're doing with the old time jazz band, at least in the next record, is we've got this new sound. We were calling it space jazz, because our theme is, it's like what people, if a trad jazz revival in the 50s from Mars or something, that's what we've pictured, like sci-fi movie from the 50s, but trad jazz.
There's a band called Sus. Called, which we've been played a little, I've played a little bit, we've been talking over them a little bit earlier, called, they were basically ambient space country, which you probably like.
Check them out.
Check them out. Yes, members of Sus actually, or how I found out, how we heard about Microsessions.
Right.
And actually, it was Bob Holmes who told, and I, that's, if Bob, if I had heard Speed Dating from Music Lovers, I might have gone, huh? But, you know, if Bob Holmes recommended it, I probably have to have a little faith in it, because it's like, you know, that's how I heard about Microsessions. And I actually said, any chance we can, you know, I think he thought knowing the structure of my radio show would be a good idea. That would work on my radio show, trying to get like,
well, Bob, show to- yeah, Sus is really an interesting act.
Yeah.
And it's made up of these sort of, you know, older heavyweights.
Right.
Including Pat Irwin.
Uh-huh.
And Pat played with the B-52s for 20 years.
Trio who we opened with. We have a theme. We've got a lot of synergy on the soundtrack today. But yeah, I mentioned that because what you're doing and kind of sort of what Krantz, your sound was, like the sounds that we heard tonight, they're out there. They're being used, and kind of what you're describing, like we're taking it, but we're making it a little spacey. Yeah, that's it's out there, and it's like a really awesome idea. It's like we're kind of, it's kind of just making it psychedelic in a way, like just taking it further.
Yeah,
life is definitely psychedelic.
Yeah, it is. It's just like whatever you're doing it and just taking it that much further,
stretching
like
it out.
Just stretching it, and like, yeah, and it's like awesome.
And it sort of seems, I know it seems a little contrary in terms of Microsessions, because like I said, there's rules, and a lot of people say, well, how can you impose these, this 15-minute limit? And I said, you know, most of the time musicians really dig it. They step up. They know that they want to put out their best stuff in that 15 minutes. And then, yeah, you give them a chance to stretch out at the end of the night, and they can do whatever they'd like.
And I mean, having attended, I can say that like when I heard something I really liked, I was able to find out more about that musician. Some musicians had like hard CDs there, or I was able to go, okay, oh, what's your name? Cool, I'm downloading your stuff.
Right,
you know,
right,
just went right home and started like, yeah, I've got your stuff now. It was like, I liked everything I heard, even if it was kind of hard to pick one, but it was like, I liked everything I heard, and I was able to just like, I discovered new stuff, and it was a very cool experience. So I once again wanted to thank you guys all for coming here tonight, and doing this kind of little round robin and sharing your time with me. I know you guys like are gigging professionally, and you're doing a bunch of things every day, and you came out here in crappy weather at the end of a long day. So I really appreciate that. And thank you for being part of Microsessions and Paul's not so little thing. And Paul, I'm really happy to see where this has kind of taken off for you.
Hopefully,
you're kind of like touring with this now.
Yeah, sort of. We're trying to get, you know, just other folks to start doing it this different way, which is, it's kind of a new way of experiencing live music. Music has been experienced sort of the same way, one band after another, for, I don't know, a couple thousand years.
Is there anything anyone else would like to add? Any point? I'm just going to swing the mic over. Prince is going to
be on
the mic. The creak you hear in the studio.
Well, I want to thank you guys again for having us, and Paul for putting Microsessions together, and Sam for hooking this up so far. Because it's like what Meg was saying before, just about like I got to get back for a 10 o'clock set back in Jersey tonight, and it's just like every night of the week it's something.
Throw you out of here, young man.
And it's like important to like be gigging like that, but it's like so difficult at that point to take the time to like be creative and like kind of be like in touch with your creativity. And I think it's like so cool to do these kind of shows, because it breaks the monotony of just like, all right, here's your 45-minute set, like you're
go,
up there,
go get them.
And also, please be in touch. Let me know what you're up to, what you're doing, when you drop new music, because I always, anytime anyone's on the show, I always make it a point to kind of, like, as you know, I read, you know, listings, show listings, events, things are happening. I always read, stay up and read what former guests are doing, play their music, and things like that. So please keep me posted as to what you guys are up to in the future, and stay in touch. I'm inviting everyone to stay tuned for Frequency Theory with Tom Tenney. Tune in Sunday morning at 9 for the rebroadcast. This will be up on Podomatic on Tuesday of next week for your streaming and downloading pleasure. Next week, I'll be back on Thursday with the one and only Rob Paravonian. He's got new music. We're going to close things out tonight with a little something from Cloud Nothings off their latest album. This is off Last Building Burning. This is Offer an End.